live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday, November 15th. So glad you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon, and you can pretty much guess what we're going to be coming out the gates and discussing on today's Current Sports. Last night was the Champions Classic out in Chi-Town, Chicago, Illinois, inside of the United Center, as the Michigan State men's basketball team played Coach K. That's right, and the Duke Blue Devils. It was a very entertaining game that went down to the wire, but in the end, it was Coach K handing Tom Izzo another loss against the Blue Devils. Tom Izzo is now 1-11 against Coach K's program. That's pretty remarkable, right? And he was not a happy man, as you can imagine. After suffering that loss last night, we'll bring you a few comments from Coach Izzo in the post-game press conference. We will also be talking about the new rankings of the college football playoff. And where does Michigan State sit in the new rankings after getting absolutely stomped on by the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday? And also, where do the Michigan Wolverines sit? Do they finally make the college football playoff rankings? We'll dive into that and bring you coverage from Mark D'Antonio's press conference. Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, he spoke to the media yesterday afternoon inside of Spartan Stadium. You don't want to miss that. A few bites that are pretty intriguing as the Spartans now prepare for Senior Day this weekend. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk about three boneheaded men's college basketball players who decided to go to China and steal. A lot of controversy surrounded around this story. They have made it safely to the United States of America and will be holding a press conference on the campus of UCLA in just a moment. And we'll talk about the Detroit Pistons surging as the second best team in the NBA's Eastern Conference right now. They will welcome the Milwaukee Bucks. They will be on the road to take on the Milwaukee Bucks later on this evening. So, a loaded show. If you want to be a part of it, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. You can tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. And also join us via Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. And I don't know what is going on with my phone. I tell you what, some days technology just does not want to work, Engineer Isaac Constance. Right now, I got my phone. And you're probably looking at me like I'm crazy. I've been staring at my phone this entire introduction, trying to figure out why in the world my phone would not shoot video sideways. I don't get it. It keeps on. And then I posted it on Facebook, and it is sitting there backwards, and then it went upside down. Oh, technology stresses you out, man. It just
sometimes
stresses
just makes your life harder. Yeah,
it does. It's like, come on, man. Anyway, I have the live stream up. It may look a little quirky today. Apologies in advance. But anywho, you guys know how we start this Current Sports train each and every weekday with your Current Sports quick hit headliners. we begin with the Michigan State men's basketball team as the Spartans fell in its first game. Fell in its first game of the season because, again, they've only played two games. So they won the first game, but they suffer now their first loss of the year, falling to the number one Duke Blue Devils in the Champions Classic last night in Chicago at the United Center. They lost by 7 points, 88-81 the final. Miles Bridges, Nick Ward, and Jaren Jackson Jr. all led the Spartans in scoring with 19 points each, while also combining for 9 blocks. However, MSU had 17 turnovers compared to the Blue Devils' 9, with Bridges, Jackson Jr., and Cassius Winston accounting for 14 of those 17. Tom Izzo's squad will look to bounce back this Sunday against the 0-2 Stony Brook Sea Wolves. Love that nickname. This Sunday at the Breslin, tip-off scheduled for 4 p.m. and will be televised on the Big Ten Network. More on Michigan State and Duke in just a moment. The third edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings came out last night, with Michigan State coming in at number 17 and Michigan at number 24. The Spartans dropped 5 spots from last week's poll, in which they were ranked 12, while the Wolverines are ranked in the poll for the first time this season. The Spartans are coming off an embarrassing loss to Ohio State on Saturday, while the Wolverines topped Maryland on the road. 4 other Big Ten teams are also in this week's edition of the poll. Number 5, Wisconsin. Number 9, Ohio State. Number 10, Penn State. And number 23, Northwestern. Michigan State will host Senior Day this Saturday against Maryland. You can watch that one on Fox. Tip-off scheduled. Kickoff. I'm in basketball mode. Kickoff scheduled for 4 p.m. The 8-2 Wolverines will travel to Madison this week to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. That game is scheduled for a noon kickoff and also will be televised on Fox. Central Michigan improved to 7-4 last night in some Tuesday night action against Kent State, beating the Golden Flashes 42-23. Former U of M quarterback Shane Morris led the way for the Chips, throwing for almost 300 yards, 297 to be exact, 2 touchdowns and an interception, 114 completions out of 22 attempts. Central Michigan will enjoy a 9-day break before they take on the 7-3 Northern Illinois Huskies next Friday in Mount Pleasant. Time for kickoff has yet to be announced, and the game will be televised either on ESPNU, ESPN3, or CBS. The Detroit Pistons are on the road this evening to face the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons are currently 10-3, and front court mates Andre Drummond and Tobias Harris deserve a lot of credit for this start. The Pistons are 7-1 at home, 3-2 on the road. 9 of the Pistons' next 11 games will be on the road. Detroit topped the Bucks 105-96 earlier this year, snapping a 3-game losing streak to their division rivals on November 3rd. The Bucks are a much different team than they were 2 weeks ago after acquiring veteran guard Eric Bledsoe. The Pistons are on a 5-game win streak, but will go against the NBA's leading scorer, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks are 3-0 since the addition of Bledsoe. The game tips off at 8 p.m. You can catch that on Fox Sports Detroit. The Detroit Red Wings will take on the Calgary Flames tonight inside of the friendly confines of Little Caesars Arena and look to exact revenge from their 6-3 loss to the Flames last Thursday in Calgary. In that loss, Calgary got off to a commanding lead against Detroit as they scored 3 goals in the first 25 minutes of the game, even with Red Wings forward Martin Ferk scoring about halfway through the second period to make it 3-1, but the Flames will pull away and score 3 more goals. The Wings are also coming off a 2-1 overtime loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets on Saturday in Columbus. So both the Spartans and the Wings lose in Columbus on the same day. Wide receiver Jace Billingsley and defensive end George Johnson were both re-signed yesterday for their third stints with the team. Although Billingsley hasn't caught a pass yet for the Lions, he's been effective on special teams, winning Lions Special Teams Player of the Week in Week 9 against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. Johnson had only 2 tackles in a stint with the Lions earlier this season. The Lions look to make their win streak 3 games this Sunday against the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. That kickoff will take place at 1 p.m. on Fox. And speaking of the Lions, Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford just landed on an exclusive list. The highest-paid player in NFL history was included on Forbes' annual 30 Under 30 list published on Tuesday. Each year, the list highlights 30 game-changers under the age of 30 in various industries. Stafford, who is 29 years old, he sits among some great company. The
sports category list includes athletes like Houston Astros second baseman Jose Altuve, New Orleans Pelicans forward Anthony Davis, Isaac would like that, Atlanta Falcons receiver Julio Jones, and pro tennis player Sloane Stephens. There are about 15,000 nominations for just about 600 spots, making this a pretty impressive feat for the QB. Quote, he was the number one overall pick in the 2009 NFL draft and Pro Bowler in 2014, end quote. That's what the Forbes staff had to say in backing up Stafford being a game changer. But Anthony Davis, a game changer for you, Isaac. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Shocking, huh? Anthony Davis, of all people. No, I'm playing. But definitely deserving company alongside Matthew Stafford.
Oh, without a doubt. AD is one of my favorite players to watch in the league. All right. And to wrap up your headliners, in a series of tweets on Tuesday, Papa John's apologized for the comments made by CEO John Shatner, blaming the NFL protests for their declining sales. The Louisville, Kentucky-based company is a major NFL sponsor and advertiser. Shatner said, quote, NFL leadership has hurt Papa John's shareholders and that the protest should have been nipped in the bud a year and a half ago, end quote. The company tweeted on Tuesday, quote, the statements made on our earnings call were describing the factors that impact our business, and we sincerely apologize to anyone that thought they were divisive. Papa John's added that it is, quote, open to ideas from all except neo-Nazis, end quote. It previously tried to distance itself from white supremacists who praised Shatner's comments, saying it does not want those groups to buy its pizza. The company's stock has fallen by nearly 13% since Shatner's comments. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Yes, viewers, via facebook.com/currentsports. I know I am vertical, but I'm also sideways. It's a weird thing going on. Technology. You can weigh in, though, right under that weird live stream and tweet us via at Al Martin, WKER. That's my official Twitter handle. Or tweet the show at Al Martin, at WKER underscore sports. So much to get to, folks. Let's start the show.
Disappointed. There's probably some positive things that maybe I'll figure out in a couple days, but it won't be tonight. And give due credit, but I give us some blame. And we're going to have to live with that. We had an opportunity. We were up two, and we just didn't lock up like we could, and we didn't rebound like we could. Did a little better job second half than the first, but in general, we did not do a good enough job.
I felt like we prepared great for this game, and we just didn't do our game plan, so we didn't execute down the stretch.
We just didn't do the things towards the end to win games, you know. Had some turnovers, some bad shots. You know, when it gets to that two-minute stretch or three-minute stretch, we got to buckle down as a team and just stick to our game plan, and we fell away from our game plan.
We just got to do better rebounding and turnovers, and at the end of the game, we just got to stay to our principles.
What did we lose by?
Seven. We played really, really bad, and we lost by seven. That's, like, the only thing I can think of. I mean, we played really bad, and we lost by seven. So I'm thinking that if we play a little bit better, we make one or two less silly mistakes down the stretch,
You win the game.
Our fans, our media, everybody should be upset, you know. 12th game and can't win many. And, but I guess at least we got the courage to play them, which most people don't.
Yes, that is very true, Tom Izzo. Michigan State men's basketball, they fell on the road on neutral ground against the Duke Blue Devils last night, losing by 7 points. A pretty disappointing loss for Coach Izzo because he now sits at 1-11 all time against the Blue Devils. A record that, of course, he is not proud of. Heck, earlier this week when previewing this matchup, he joked and said, hey, man, I'm 1-100 against Duke. Izzo wasn't happy, though, as you just heard, and you could tell by his tone after last night's game. And according to Twitter, it looks like he bit at Detroit News sports writer Bob Wojnarowski. Don't know what was asked, but Izzo was not happy, not a happy camper. Many Spartan fans weren't happy about the loss. And, you know, it's amazing. And I say this a lot, but it's so true. It's so true because I experience it very often being in this business. And I'm very active on social media, as you guys know. And I love chatting with fans and getting the fan perspective, particularly as it pertains to Michigan State sports. And, you know, last night I'm prepping for the show. It's like 1 a.m. After the game, I went to the gym, worked out and came back. And I'm a night owl. I'm always up late at night. And my fraternity brothers were having this big conversation about the game in an app called GroupMe. And one of my frat brothers made a crazy statement. My frat brother Marv said that Izzo needs to go. And I sat there and I lost my cool. You know, I was reading the comments and they're being very they're overreacting. Oh, the Michigan State can't beat Duke yet again. What's the problem? We are doomed for the season. What? I mean, come on. Let's relax. When in the world did a mid-November game have end-of-year implications barring an NCAA tournament appearance? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but I let him talk. And until I saw that comment, and then I just kind of I flipped my wig. Couldn't believe the comment. And then after I just kind of went off, you know, basically he said, you know, what has Izzo done significant for MSU basketball since 2001? A very ignorant comment. Very ignorant. And then goes on to say he needs to go. Then I basically sent him a message saying, have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Are you at a local pub right now and had too many bottles of water? Because you need to put that down ASAP, making comments like that. You're in your feelings right now. Then we went into this back and forth, and eventually it led to, okay, touche, you're the expert. You get paid for this type of stuff. That's what he said to end the conversation. But it's amazing just how reactionary we are in the sports world sometimes. Folks, relax. It's November 15th. Izzo's teams get better as the year rolls along, and you better believe. And that's why I wanted to roll in addition to Izzo's comments, you heard Nick Ward, you heard Miles Bridges, you heard Cassius Winston, but the comment from Jaren Jackson Jr., where he's asking, man, how much did we lose by? 7 points? 7 points. 7 points, and we played bad. And MSU did, in stretches of that game, play really, really bad. And they only lost by 7 points. Now, Marvin Bagley III didn't play in the second half after getting looked like a finger to the eye in the first half. But MSU played bad in that game and still they only lost by 7 points. So let's keep things in perspective here. Now, I want to unpack the game a bit. After watching it last night, I spent part of my morning watching the entire second half and taking notes. And first off, Grayson Allen. My goodness, how good was Grayson Allen last night. That brother can shoot. He's got a pretty stroke, too. I mean, feet planted, elbow tucked in, followed through. Nothing but the bottom of the nylon. Impressive stuff from Grayson Allen, who is a senior leader for this team. Intermixed with a ton of very talented freshmen. But that's what, you know, games like this come down to. You know, your seniors have to be seniors, especially a senior like Grayson Allen. He's a leader for this team. And he was big time. That experience rose to the top. And he was the best player on the basketball court last night, especially from three-point land. I mean, he entered the night last night 10 of 15 from behind the arc in his first two games and just continued that upward trend against the Spartans. Now, Josh Langford, he guarded Grayson Allen for the majority of the night. He looked a step slower the entire game. He tried to fight through screens that Duke set offensively and ended up a step late there. And then I saw Matt McQuay guarding Grayson Allen later on in the second half. And, you know, McQuay was right there on a few plays, but Grayson Allen just money. My goodness. And you know what I love about Grayson Allen when watching his game? It's what really impressed me was what he was able to do away from not having the basketball in his hands. He's a leader for this team. I mean, he was constantly talking to his teammates, barking out orders defensively, you know, patting some of his teammates on the behind and saying, "Hey, man, we got this. Let's go." He was being a leader out there on the basketball court. I absolutely love that. I mean, his mouth did not stop last night when it came to communication with his teammates, providing encouragement, barking out orders on both sides of the basketball. That is what a senior leader does. He was a thorn in the side of the Spartans all night. Trayvon Duval, wow, was he impressive last night as well. You know, we talked with Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta on yesterday's show. He was inside of the United Center covering that game, and he said, "Hey, Al, watch out for Trayvon Duval. This freshman can ball." And Trayvon Duval exposed the still-under-construction defense of Mr. Cassius Winston. You know, watching that second half again this morning, in the first 5 minutes, he crossed up Cassius, driving to the left, got to the lane for a foul and hit two free throws. Then the possession right after that, Cassius, I don't know what Cassius was thinking on this play, but he's playing help defense way too high on the court, leaves Duval wide open on the baseline for a layup. I don't know where Cassius Winston's mind was defensively last night, but it wasn't on staying in front of Trayvon Duval. And Cassius Winston still has some ways to go when it comes to his quote-unquote improved defense this season. He couldn't keep Trayvon Duval in front of him, and Duval had a field day just driving right on past Cassius Winston to get to the lane easily. Now, Duke sat in a 2-3 zone the entire game. I don't think any of us saw that coming. That 2-3 zone gave the Spartans fits last night. But how do you break a zone? You got to have good ball movement, and you have to attack the zone. That is something that Michigan State could not do consistently last night. There were way too many passes around the perimeter, a lot of meaningless cuts to the free throw line extended that went nowhere. I rarely saw a guard or any player for that matter just put the ball on the ground, penetrate, kick out, or try and draw a foul. Barely saw that. But when it did happen, I mean, for instance, Cassius Winston, a beautiful floater right over the arms of a defender before Duke took a timeout with 3:19 left. Kenny Goins, he gives Cassius a high screen. Cassius drives the lane, a really beautiful floater that didn't touch any part of the rim. Great stuff. But, I mean, and watching Miles Bridges, Miles Bridges did not have a good game last night. He drove into double teams on the baseline. He threw a ton of careless passes that led to what Tom Izzo calls turnovers for touchdowns. Bridges just threw up. I mean, it's like he just kind of got complacent. He's like, "Are you gonna play? You gonna play zone? I can't really drive. I'm not gonna drive on you. I'm just gonna just chuck it from deep and throw up a jump shot." He settled. Miles Bridges settled far too often, and he wasn't aggressive. He wasn't aggressive. He only had 3 shot attempts in the entire first half. But even with that being said, I mean, Michigan State was still in this game. You know, Nick Ward, you know, after Cassius Winston nails that floater and that timeout is called by Duke, Nick Ward gets an and-one on that crazy sequence where the ball's on the ground, like 5 different players touch the basketball, and eventually, you know, multiple bodies hit the floor. Eventually, Nick Ward, he gets the ball and gets an and-one on the other end. And it's a tie game with 12 minutes to play. MSU went on a 12-2 run at that point. And then what happens? Grayson Allen nails a 3 with Matt McQuaid right all up in his business. Unbelievable shot. And then, right after that, MSU starts screening on top of the defense, because I feel like Michigan State had a revelation last night. You know, when Cassius got that high screen from Kenny Goins and hit that floater, MSU starts screening on top of the 2-3 zone. And the first time they do, you know, Winston finds McQuaid on the other side of the court. McQuaid pump fakes, gets his defender in the air, drives to lane, gets an and-one. Beautiful stuff. If you want to defeat a zone, you got to penetrate. And you got to have movement on multiple sides of the court. MSU then has a 2-point lead with 10 minutes and 39 seconds left to play. That's when Josh Langford gets fouled on a jump shot. Great stuff as MSU is pushing the basketball. That's something also that Michigan State got away from. I mean, MSU, what, they were like 4 of 6 from the floor to start the game and then go something crazy like 2 for 12 after that. They stopped pushing the basketball. But when they do, they had success there as well. But then, you know, right after Josh gets fouled and, you know, on a jump shot, Trayvon Duvall, he drives off the pick. You know, it was a pick and roll, actually. Then, you know, he drives left, had a beautiful crossover. He crosses Winston over, splits, you know, the help from Nick Ward, and then goes in for the layup. Trayvon Duvall, I mean, that brother can score. He is going to be fun to watch as the year goes along. But then you talk about coaching questions, and many of you out there had questions when it came to Tom Izzo and his decisions throughout that game. And Tom admitted after the game that he made a few mistakes. He was very honest. He was very candid in his post-game presser, intermixed with the anger. Okay? He made a few boo-boos. And I was tweeting throughout that game last night. And, you know, one of the question marks I had that I tweeted out was, why take Nick Ward out? When Nick Ward, I mean, that was a stretch of basketball in the second half. When he's getting to the line, he was crashing the boards, playing with a high motor, a lot of emotion. You know, he was barking back and forth with Wendell Carter Jr. And, you know, he gets a big block on Javon DeLaurier. That was huge. And then right after that block, Tom Izzo subs out Ward for Kenny Goins. With 9:56 left to play. And MSU with a 1-point lead. They had the lead at that point. Had momentum. Now, when Nick was out, now a lot of people said, okay, he needed a breath. But I don't care how tired a brother is. If he is playing that good in that moment, why take him out the game? Leave him in. Leave him in there and keep that momentum going. I didn't understand that. That's a question mark I had. So he takes a quick break. Michigan State doesn't give any points up when he took that breather, but that momentum just kind of fizzled out, and the air was let out of Nick Ward's balloon, in my opinion. He entered the game a bit flat. He got the ball in the post. They immediately feed him when he gets back in the game, and that's the thing with Nick Ward. He's so up and down, right? He got the ball in the post, was blocked by Wendell Carter Jr., and then on the very next possession, he fouls Carter Jr. and then goes right back to the bench. I just feel like if Izzo would have left him in at that mark, when he gets that big block on Javon, who knows what could have happened. And then Miles Bridges, bad game for him. He had 5 turnovers. You know, he turned the ball over far too many times. I thought that he was kind of overthinking the zone defense, and he just was not aggressive. You would think a guy so athletic like Miles Bridges, and this is something he's worked on, dribble driving to the basket, you would think that Miles would just, you know, torture that zone with his athleticism, but he didn't. And he overthought things, and when he was cut off on the rare times that he would drive, he tried to pass the ball, didn't see a defender. I don't know how he didn't. And a few of those turnovers led to easy buckets on the other side of the floor for Duke. And when he turned the ball over around the 7:30 mark in the second half, that led to a Trayvon Duval turnover on the very next possession. You know, it's like for a moment he had the eye of the tiger. He attacked the zone baseline, and what happened? He found a layup. And then Grayson Allen again. He nails a three on the other end of the floor. But then Miles Bridges says, okay, I'm going to bring it. Bridges goes right after that. After Grayson Allen nails that three, Bridges nails a three of his own to make it a two-point game. Maria Taylor of ESPN, who did a great job as sideline reporter last night, Maria Taylor reported on the broadcast in the huddle that Izzo said, quote, "It's your time," end quote, when addressing Miles Bridges. It is your time, basically, to take over this game. You are Miles Bridges. You are the preseason National Player of the Year. Grab the basketball, be aggressive, and put these kids to bed. That didn't happen. He played well in spurts, but again, far too often, Miles Bridges just settled for the jump shot against that Duke zone. And as I noted earlier, he played 17 minutes in the first half and had just 3 shot attempts. The last 4 minutes were very interesting of that game. What went wrong with 4 minutes left to play? Because MSU did have the lead. Kenny Goins actually gave MSU a 2-point lead with 3:56 left to play. After Goins, he keeps a loose ball alive, and then great things happen against the zone. If you just penetrate, Cassius Winston penetrated and fouled Kenny Goins sitting on the left side of the basket for a slam. Ben Carter then, he gives up a backdoor rebound, and I believe that rebound was corralled by Mr. Wendell Carter Jr., who played great in light of the absence of Marvin Bagley III. Ben Carter gave up that backdoor rebound for an easy layup. And then on the other end, the very next possession, Ben Carter misses a jump shot off the glass. That leads to a Gary Trent tray. And then Bridges settles for another three. And then Michigan State defensively has a mix-up. There's a mix-up between Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson. And I don't know, and I tweeted this out last night. I don't know how you leave Grayson Allen, who's been torching you all game, wide open for a three-pointer in crunch time with under 4 left to play. But Bridges and Jackson got confused. Allen, he's sitting there wide open on the left wing. Duval, the smart player that he is and the facilitator that he is, realizes the mix-up, gets the ball to Allen. He tickles the twine for three. That gave Allen 32 points and a 6-point lead for Duke. And that was really a mistake on Miles Bridges. He just was not in tune on that play, and it was a big one that he gave up. And then after MSU misses a bucket on the other side of the floor, Duke comes right down the floor, and who else? Grayson Allen yet again nails a 3-pointer right in the face of Matt McQuaid. And I mean, this one was right in Matt McQuaid's face. It was great defense by Matt McQuaid. Just a better shot. Good D, better row in that position. And then Winston, careless with the basketball against his zone. He penetrates, trying to find Jackson. That leads to a steal, and it was a 4-1-0 break. 9-point lead with 46 seconds left, game over. Michigan State will learn from this. A lot of things to dissect. They didn't play great, folks. Turnovers, and then the offensive rebounds they gave up just killed them. Just killed them. I mean, 25 offensive rebounds for Duke last night. MSU just had 11. That led to a lot of second-chance opportunities for Duke. But still, with that being said, just a 7-point loss. 7-point loss. So a lot to unpack in this game, but my message is basically, look, it's the second game of the season for Michigan State. Okay? Going against the Duke Blue Devils, the number one men's basketball program in the nation, and you lose by 7 points in a subpar performance from your best player. MSU will get better, and this team will look different as the year rolls along. But there are a lot of teaching moments for this team, and that 1-11 record does not taste well for Tom Izzo. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and weigh in via Twitter at WKAR_sports or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk MSU football. We'll talk college football playoff. And we'll also talk UCLA as the three men's basketball players for UCLA. They have returned from China after caught stealing on international grounds. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up my thoughts on last night's Michigan State loss to the Duke Blue Devils. A few of you are commenting on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/currentsports. Ben Grimes says, if we had made our free throws, rebounded better, if we had shut down Grayson Allen, we would have won. Well, that's a lot of things you got to do right in order to win, right, Ben? I mean, a lot of areas went wrong for Michigan State. They rebounded better. They shut down Grayson Allen. That's a tall order. Make your free throws or get to the free throw line, for goodness sake. And I saw this a lot on Twitter as well. You know, a lot of people complaining about the referees and you know, you had Ted Valentine. A lot of people call Ted Valentine Teddy TV because he's very animated and he loves reffing the big games and he loves being on TV. To each his own when it comes to Ted Valentine. But, you know, Michigan State just wasn't aggressive last night. If they would have been aggressive and attacked the zone, they would have gotten to the line much more than they did last night. Then Ben goes on to say, the elbow to Ben Carter should have been a flagrant foul and an ejection, and the touch fouls that the officials were calling against us were absolutely ridiculous, but that's the officiating for you when it comes to us playing Duke. I'm not putting this, that's an easy sports argument, Ben. That's an easy sports argument, dude. The referees were out there, and there were a few questionable calls, I thought, on both sides, you know, for Duke and Michigan State. And the elbow to Ben Carter, I don't think – now, they called it, and it was called something weird last night. It's probably – I tweeted this out last night as well. I never heard of this technical before, but it wasn't called a flagrant foul, but it was called like a contact technical. Yeah, they're going to call it a contact technical is what I tweeted out last night. I don't even know what that means. Never heard of a contact technical, but I don't think it was malicious or intentional for Carter Jr. to elbow Ben Carter in the face. And actually, if you looked at his face closely, he was very remorseful after it happened. He was just trying to free himself, and he looked kind of sorry after it happened. But, you know, Michigan State, they had multiple opportunities in order to win that game and to keep the momentum going and to pull out that victory. It just didn't happen last night. I'm not going to blame that game on the referees. The defense could have been a lot better. They gave up way too many offensive boards, and they shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. That can't happen. Simple as that. Isaac, your thoughts on last night's game?
Well, first of all, yeah, offensive boards jump out at you because – and I say jump out in a literal sense because Duke out-jumped MSU all game long. MSU, I don't like comparing offensive boards to offensive boards just because those are two unlike categories, as similar as they sound. The thing is, you can have a strategy of, oh, we're going to crash the glass, and another team can have a strategy, oh, we're going to get back on defense. But the thing is, when you compare offensive rebounds to defensive rebounds, you need to out-rebound the team who just shot the ball because you have better position, because you need the ball back to end the possession, because you should be more motivated, because they're not going as hard as you. And MSU had 23 defensive rebounds last night. That's two less rebounds than Duke had offensively. That is atrocious. That is embarrassing. So on the effort standpoint, you were outworked. Miles Bridges looked like a freshman last night. And I say that because he looked timid when it came to not looking for his own shot, not going to the foul line once. That's as atrocious as only attempting three shots in the first half. And I got to say, Tom Izzo is one of the best coaches in college basketball. But when it comes to these one-on-one matchups versus Krzyzewski, it's clear Krzyzewski has been superior so far in 12 tries.
Definitely.
I get where Graham Couch was coming from, but those 12 losses aren't all situational. Last night, we saw a 2-3 zone versus a zone break. The 2-3 zone won, and it was clear.
It was dominant. They didn't sit in man at one time. I can't remember one time they sat in man defense. Yep. They played that 2-3 zone the entire game.
And that's the thing. When there's a 2-3 zone, you learn about this in high school, but there are a few ways to break one. One is you want to penetrate and get it up quick, like you were saying, like Cassius Winston did on that one time, the teardrop. There are other times, if you remember the Gavin Schilling dunk earlier in the game, where you pass it to this rover more or less in the middle of the court. You swing it, you get a good angle to him, and you have the other big man ride the baseline and sneak behind the 2-3 zone. That's another way. Then you can overload them. The thing is, you need to be quick against a 2-3, because another way to beat them is not let them get into a 2-3 like Tum Tum Nairn did when he attacked. He was the best point guard for MSU last night.
I don't remember seeing Tum at all in the second half.
Exactly.
I watched the game over, and Tum wasn't there at all. When they were pushing the basketball, they went away from that. They were successful at the very beginning of the game.
And Miles Bridges, if you want free throws, if you want shots against the 2-3 zone, because you shot it decently last night. You actually did. You went 7 of 15. The thing is, if you want free throws or dunks or whatever shot you prefer, you need to go quick. You've got to play like a guard, not like a power forward, like a guard, because Duke had more size and MSU was comprehensively beaten. With that being said, it's the second game of the season, people.
Relax.
It was great. It was fun. Enjoy.
And, you know, speaking of Miles Bridges, that may have been the first time that I can remember Miles Bridges not getting one dunk in a game. That's a bit odd when you think about that, because Miles Bridges, we at least have one highlight reel dunk that we're talking about after Michigan State plays on the basketball court. I can't remember one last night. But, yeah, no free throw attempts. He's got to be more aggressive. Got to be more aggressive. What are your thoughts on Michigan State and Duke? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You know what? Quick, just to get away from MSU basketball, just for a moment here. Isaac, if, you know, this situation concerning the UCLA men's basketball team is intriguing on many levels. On many, many levels. And, you know, I saw Seth Greenberg last night, as well as, just the panel last night. They were kind of just breaking down, you know, what kind of punishment should the UCLA players who went to China, LiAngelo Ball, as well as Jalen Hill and Cody Riley, these three bonehead men's basketball players who went to China and were arrested for stealing some, Louis Vuitton sunglasses, what kind of punishment do they deserve? And, you know, I kind of sat back and thought about it, and I said, man, you go to another country and steal while you're there representing your university. You're already privileged to be over there to play a basketball game, and you go and do something like that and get locked up for it. And, you know, I have to agree with, you know, Seth Greenberg last night. I mean, Seth and, you know, Jay Williams said, you know, five games last night. Jay Williams is on the broadcast along with Reese Davis, and he said, give him five games or something like that, a few games. And Jay, you know, Seth Greenberg said, hey, man, you know, you go and do something that egregious, you steal, you got to sit him out the entire season. I have to agree with that, to be honest. Now, there's always context, added context to any story, especially one like this. And I would love to pick the brain of those three young men to kind of just ask them what in the world was going through their head during this moment? I mean, what made you do it? That's the question that I really want to know. And, you know, if you're a member of the media, right, and you see these three young men returning to the United States at LAX airport, and if you're a media member and they're coming off the plane and you want to, you know, throw out a question, you know, for me being a journalist, again, why'd you do it? Do you think that you deserve to play this season? You know, you want to get to the really emotional questions and really want to dive into the thinking of a young man in that situation. You know, what was it like being over there? I mean, and enduring something like that? How are you dealing with all of this attention? You know, questions like that, right? But I found it pretty comical that when they got off the plane, a lot of the reporters were kind of, I guess you can say, lighthearted about the situation when addressing it to these three young men. Now, again, they get off the airport and they're on their way with their bags to a van. And I want to play a snippet right now. This comes from TMZ. And this is what this is how the interaction with these three young men and members of the media went like when they arrived at LAX airport.
You guys got glad to be back?
Angelo,
did you steal the glasses? Did you steal the glasses? Everyone's trying to say you stole the glasses.
Angelo's a truth, you steal the glasses?
You got a message for Trump. You know, you made a call for you guys. That's a big deal.
You're the man.
Have anything to say?
What's in the bag, guys? That was a long trip. You guys got anything? Any souvenirs? What'd you bring back?
No comment.
No comment.
Why would you guys take that stuff?
You better walk up and let him be.
Why would you take that stuff?
Did you steal the sunglasses?
Do you regret it?
Fucking man, be.
Do you think you're gonna play this season still? We gotta know, man. You guys worried about not playing this year?
U.S. government intervened on your behalf, including President Trump. Do you have anything to say?
And he misses the Trump.
Did
your brother call you up? Give me some love, man.
Did you say your pants?
Man, this is tough. I get that this is tough, man. Is the coach upset?
Are you going to bring world peace?
You got to have a message for the president of China. What's in the bag?
Were you guys arrested?
Were you put in jail?
Don't answer if you're guilty.
Do you still have a scholarship at UCLA?
You ever wear Louis Vuitton again?
Where's the fake Gucci?
You can't help but laugh, right? When you hear those questions, you know, I just sat there and just cracked up because, you know, these members of the media, so to speak, the questions that they threw out to these three young men as they had this awkward walk in LAX to, you know, to this vehicle that I guess I assume took them back to campus were just the most obvious questions that they already knew the answer to. They're just basically poking fun at the situation. Did you steal the glasses? Well, duh, that's why they got locked up in China. Then they asked about President Trump, you know, President Trump getting you out. What's in the bag? Will you ever wear Louis Vuitton again? Why take the stuff? Will you play? Then just a comment. This is tough. World peace. Are you striving for world peace? Oh my gosh. When I heard that and watched that video last night, I was in tears laughing. And, you know, can we just play the second bite here, Isaac? Just one more time.
Hey, you guys think Michigan State's going to be Duke?
Will Michigan State beat Duke? That's one of the questions that were thrown out from members of the media as these three just idiotic UCLA men's basketball players who stole sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store in China and were arrested for it as they made their way back to the States, trudging through the airport. Absolutely hilarious. And, you know, again, my opinion on it, when you do something like that, when you steal, let alone in another country. You don't deserve to play a game. You don't deserve to lace them up at all. You can practice with the team, go get your education, go to class, but you need some community service, and you don't need to play the game this season. If you're going to do something that idiotic. I'm totally with Seth Greenberg on that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, I see a John from Jackson and Dave from Wyoming. You guys have been waiting patiently. I'm going to get to your calls in just a moment. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have under 10 minutes left here in the show. We have been chatting about the Michigan State men's basketball loss to Duke last night in Chicago. I want to go to line one right now. We've got Dave from Wyoming that wants to chime in. Dave, how you doing, my man?
Well, I'm doing okay. When you say journalist, isn't that kind of a loose term right now?
Yeah, none of those guys last night.
How many of those guys were pretty much video paparazzi?
Yeah, thank you, right? They don't have a degree in journalism. Yeah.
Show up and pray that somebody is going to pick, you know, BuzzFeed or somebody's going to pick up their video after
yeah.
the fact.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like they were being surrounded by New York Times, Chicago Trib, LA Times
no.
reporters being shouted at.
Absolutely hilarious, no. though. Oh, that was my comedy for the night.
celebrity. I don't know how steady a ground Steve Alford was on before. But if I'm the UCLA AD, I'm really thinking this might be his last season, regardless of what punishment comes down. And the punishment should come down from the AD, not from Steve Alford.
Yeah, Dan Guerrero. Yeah.
And I speak from experience of coaching travel ball, both softball and baseball, when we went to Canada, is we hammered on those kids, 16U and 18U, you are in a different country. You are under different laws. Don't think about walking away from a restaurant tab. Don't think about stealing anything. You know, don't think about with the 18Us, don't think about seeing if you can get some alcohol and get away with it. Because mm-hmm. you're not dealing with county sheriff in Michigan or county sheriff in Ohio. You're dealing with provincial police, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Why these
knuckleheads didn't have that pounded into them, and I blame Alford and his staff for that. And I'm with you. Thank you for playing. Your scholarship won't be renewed. You're allowed to stay at UCLA and get a year's worth of education if you so choose. Otherwise, sit out and enjoy the G League next year.
Yeah.
And that's the cold. I think that's the only way it stops. Also, NCAA, I were Pac-12. I wouldn't let UCLA leave the country to their next chance that they can for one of those foreign trips. Sorry, you forfeited it because of lack of player control.
I agree. I agree with you.
Going back to Michigan State, part of it, I think, is when you saw Michigan State last night, it looks like we're seeing Chris Hill revisited. You know, guys who can shoot suddenly get on the court. And lose their shooting touch.
And how about Matt? You know, that's another point I wanted to bring up too. Matt McQuaid. You know,
that's what I mean. I was talking
Matt
about
is
Matt
so
McQuaid.
Streaky. I mean, if he doesn't hit, you know, his first, you know, two shots. I mean, it's like mentally, he just overthinks and just kind of goes into la la land. I don't know what the problem is with Matt McQuaid.
For whatever reason, he shuts down if he doesn't have immediate success.
Right.
But if he does have success, you know, Katie barred the door. The other couple things that have is one. I guess I'm part of it. I'll blame on Izzo. But also, sometimes they say, right, the players reflect the coach. Is paralysis paralysis comes out of analysis, an over-analysis. And it looked like those guys were, you could see the wheels going around their head about how do I beat this thumb.
Thinking too much.
There was no flow, per se. And there were things, yes, you could see they were thinking where Duke was reacting. And, you know, Duke's got some good long players. And it's much easier to teach those young players how to play that zone than it is to teach them how to play one-on-one. Krzyzewski's no fool. He figured that out real quick. And, you know, he's been doing it for years, and now with his freshman stuff, I think you're going to see a lot more zone than you used to see. And the last thing is, Miles Bridges, God bless him, he's back. But it's like he's thinking too much about his teammates. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to overshadow them. I don't want to be the man.
Right.
And I think it's time for, you know, if I'm Tom Izzo today, I'm calling him in my office and just shaking him in the head and shoulders and saying, you are the man. Play like the man.
Play like the man. It's all mental.
You know, and
yep,
that's...
I agree.
That's what... If you came back here, what did you come back here for?
Right.
You know, we think you came back here to be the man, to lead us. You got to be the man. And that's... You know,
right.
That's one of those maturity factors. And he seems to be, from everything you read, a very thoughtful young guy.
And Dave, we got under a minute left. I hate to cut you off. We got under a minute left. But, yeah, thank you for that. And I think that's a very accurate opinion. I think that Miles does cater too much to his teammates. Instead of saying, hey, give me the basketball. Everybody get out the way. I'm going to make something happen for us. So I agree. Jalen Bell chimes in on Facebook and says, man, why didn't Izzo have Jackson and Ward in at the end of the game? Why do our shooters crumble under the light? So, elaborating on Dave's point as well. Then he says, questions that need to be answered. Well, we hope to answer that and more on tomorrow's Current Sports. I'll bring to you coverage from the Mark D'Antonio press conference this week, and we'll talk college football playoff on tomorrow's Current Sports. That and more. We'll see you Thursday, folks. Be easy, people.